He writes for Forbes.com, one of the better baseball writers around, and knows the game, and that's Barry Bloom. Barry, how are you today?
Good. Am I talking to Marty Lurie or Bart Giamatti here?
I am the philosopher today. I am the
yes, you are.
So but that's what I mean. You know, I assume you understand what I'm trying to say. You know, we go through this whole 2017 season, and it's a completed story. And then we go over the winter, and now the new story happens, and we have to open our minds, open our eyes, and just sit back and see how the new story starts to unfold, because you don't know anything yet.
And that's absolutely true. And, you know, I was just talking to my brother Steve about this. You know, we've been going to baseball games together. He's a Met fan. I'm a Yankee fan. We're in New York today. I just went over to Citi Field and watched, you know, the Cardinals pretty much pull apart Steven Matz and the Mets today after losing the first two games of the series. You know, you have a tendency, it's like, wow, they lost the first two games of the series, the season's over. And people, especially in our sport, you know, there's a vogue of covering this where it's covered like football, where every game is insurmountable. And baseball is not like football. It's what you say. It's a novel that's being written on a daily basis. There's chapters. You get to the quarter pole. You get to the half pole. You get the three quarters, and then you get to September, and you see where you are. And that's why, even in my prediction column that I wrote the other day, I said, you know, this is only a slice of life for today. Because we don't know who's going to get hurt, who's going to live up to expectations, and who's not. And that's going to all unfold in front of us.
But why do we want to make judgments? Barry Bloom with us, Forbes.com. Why do we want to make judgments so quickly? I mean, the Giants win two games, 1-0. They lose last night, 5-0. They can't hit. Well, why is a baseball fan ready to jump on it after three games? Or like you say, you're 2-0. Or you're 0-2, and right away, boy, this is going to be a good year. What is it about baseball fans that they can't wait to get their hands around what's going to happen?
Because I think fans today are imbued with the fact that, like I said, there's a football or a hockey or basketball mentality or college football mentality about these things, where there's only 16 games in a season or 81 games in a season. And there's a great weight on each game, as opposed to baseball, where 162 games. Somebody asked an interesting question to Bud Black the other day, and it's like every team's going to win 60, and every team is going to lose 60, and it's that other 42 games and how that's split up that's going to make a difference. And which games are the more important ones when you look at the 42? And the only way you're going to know that is when the season is over and you can look back on it and say, gee, if we had won these 20 here or we didn't lose these 18 here, you know, we might have had a different season. But, I mean, that's really the nature of baseball. You're going to lose 60 games in the best of seasons. So you better cope with it.
Yeah, very well. Very well said. Giants now are 2-1. And, of course, they play the Dodgers again tonight. You have been very steadfast on your reports. We've had you on every Sunday since the beginning of spring training, our first show, about Ohtani and the Angels. And Ohtani today, I guess, said, spring training? I don't think so. He went out today and looked like a polished major league pitcher, and he's in line for his first win, and he went six full innings. How do you like that?
It's like, again, quoting my buddy Bud Black, it's why you play the games. And why the Angels said it's a process with Ohtani during spring training, and they weren't worried about the results, which, you know, I think I quoted Billy Epler as saying in one of my later columns. And, you know, they are, you know, steadfastly looking at this as a long-term project, and so is Ohtani. And, again, the fans and the media are looking at the short term because it's a daily story with us. And today's story will be exactly what you said, overcoming an awful spring training. The experience that he had was able to translate into his first win, or at least a six-inning, three-hit, three-run, six strikeout performance after a spring training in which he really couldn't get anybody out. And it just shows you what also he said much during the spring training, that he has had awful spring trainings over in Japan before, and things straighten out when the season starts, and he knows himself better than anybody, and we weren't there. So, you know, I'm happy for him. He's a terrific kid, and I think it's going to be a great story as we transpire through the season and, you know, which no matter which way it goes, but a better story if he succeeds.
Yeah, they're very good. Look, it made my interest today to see what was going to happen with him. And after listening to you and seeing him a little bit in spring training, I had no idea what was going to happen today. So let's put spring training in our rearview mirror. Baseball has made spring training a big deal. It's a big money maker. The tickets are expensive. It's covered extensively by everybody. Every network, every outlet covers spring training. Is it too much coverage? And does it sort of get us ready for the season in a way that we're not ready to just have that open mind on what's ahead of us? Maybe we put in what happens in spring training, and it really doesn't matter.
I'm a firm believer, and I've come to this conclusion a while ago, that I don't put too much credence into spring training, because you see too many teams have lousy spring trainings and then break out of the gate fine and have great regular seasons and vice versa. And but as far as do we put too much coverage on it? No.
Yeah.
I mean, it's part of, you know, what we do, and it's part of, you know, the promotion of the game. I mean, whether we write negatively, positively, we're writing about baseball every day. It generates interest. Fans want to read it. They can form their own opinions. Everybody has their own opinions. And I think it's great for the game, but I think you have to realize that it's only spring training, and half the time batters are facing, you know, pitchers with high numbers at the end of the game. Pitchers are facing guys with 90 numbers late in the game, and it's stuff that doesn't happen during the regular season. I mean, you can't really pitch a bullpen in spring training because of the way you play those games. So just by the nature of it, it's not a replication of what you do during the regular season.
No.
And once the regular season starts, you do.
Yeah, that's great. It's amazing. You just put it in your rearview mirror and it didn't happen. One last thought for you. A couple of things, actually. It'll take a minute or two. Gabe Kapler. Now, you're back east. Gabe Kapler's the manager of the Phillies. He used 21 pitchers in his first three games, set a major league record for pitchers used to begin a season. Yesterday, he made a pitching change without a reliever even warming up, and the umpires had to bail him out and give the kid a chance to warm up on the mound a little bit before resuming play. And the manager of the Braves was so incensed by it, he got thrown out of the game. But Gabe Kapler and the Phillies, they believe in what they're doing, but they are trying to reinvent the wheel here, aren't they?
Well, I think that's what they bought when they hired Kapler as the manager. They certainly had, you know, their choice of a number of other different people. And you don't see how it plays itself out, you know, to see how it works over time. And I think you're in a situation here now where it's now the old school against the analytics, and the, you know, it's kind of like the great battle, who's going to win? Because we saw what happened to Dave Roberts in the World Series last year doing the same thing, pulling Rich Hill out with 65 pitches, allowing only one run and a couple of hits in game two of the World Series. And it really screwed up the rest of the World Series, I think, for the Dodgers. That's where the Dodgers lost the World Series. So if you don't make adjustments when you do these things and you don't change, then you're going to be left to the dustbin of Major League history, because it's not going to turn out very well for you.
Boy, that's one place you don't want to be, the dustbin of Major League history. That is not a good place. That is not a good place.
No, and I figured you waxed so eloquently in the opening that I had to come up with something to equal what you said.
Very good.
I don't know if I came close.
No, you did. You know? Oh, come on, the dustbin of Major League. I love that. That's very good. The trail of managerial decisions that don't work out end up in the dustbin.
The managerial tears. The trail of managerial tears.
Right. Very good. All right. Hey, I appreciate you being on. Where are you next weekend?
I'm still in New York, so we'll do it all over again.
Yeah, Giants-Dodgers next Sunday as well. Barry, thanks for coming on, and look forward to chatting with you. Forbes.com, anything coming up that you want to promote?
I'm going to be doing a piece on the Mets having a healthy, all these guys back healthy in the starting rotation again, and how that's going to impact, their season. I'll make a guess on that, and then we'll watch the season turn out. And then we've got the Yankee opener tomorrow. So, and Trevor Hoffman's Hall of Fame tour on Wednesday. So it's going to be an interesting week.
Very good. All right. Enjoy it. Thanks, Barry.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Marty. Always great to be on.
Okay, very good. That is Barry Bloom, Forbes.com.